sure as God made green apples, someday the Chicago Cubs are going to be in a World Series. And maybe sooner than we think.
Here's the 0-1. This is going to be a tough play.
What's going on, Cubs fans? I am Sean Sears, and welcome to another episode of Locked On Cubs, part of the Locked On Network, your team every day. On today's episode, we welcome on a friend of mine, Matthew Ung, who's a former writer that took a moment away from covering baseball here for some pretty serious health concerns that we talk about on this podcast a little bit. But Matt is a guy that is dealing with cerebral palsy and has some pretty serious, is going through the last few months now, a pretty serious battle with cancer. So it was fun to get Matt on, talk about the Cubs, just kind of discuss what we think could be happening in a 60-game season. So it was nice to break down things here. I do want to clarify, I think I said on Monday that the Cubs were expected or had to announce the rest of their 60-man roster because they've only put out 50. But after reading more, I got that entirely wrong. Apparently, the Cubs, there is no limit, I guess, or a requirement that they fill that full 60-man roster. So they are going to leave those 10 spots open and then basically try and fill those as the season goes on, or as they deem fit, basically. So that is a little bit different. So the Cubs roster right now is 50 men with 39 guys on the actual active roster, with 11 guys on the South Bend squad, and then they plan to add guys on throughout the season. So, but today's episode is brought to you in partnership with CubsInsider.com. Head to CubsInsider to read about Cubs pitching coach Tommy Hodovee's battle with COVID. I did not know anything about this up until today when the news broke, but reportedly Tommy Hodovee was really battling COVID. They were not using hyperbole there. He was in the hospital. He had a really tough time breathing. It sounded like he came really close to getting put on a ventilator. Some serious stuff. So read all about that and more at CubsInsider.com, official partner of Locked On Cubs. You can get Locked On Cubs on whatever podcast app you use, whether that's Google, Apple, Spotify, TuneIn app, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, anywhere you listen to your podcast, make sure you subscribe, leave a 5-star review. And then make sure you follow us on Twitter at Locked On Cubs. You can follow me on Twitter at Sean R. Sears. And you can follow Matt on Twitter at Matthew S. _ Ung. And that's A-U-N-G, Ung. So with that, let's kick it over to our conversation with Matt. Here in Chicago, it's been tough on a lot of small businesses around the area who depend heavily on the increase of people going outside and walking to bars, restaurants as the weather gets warmer here in Chicago. Postmates has been one of the few food delivery services that isn't just working with restaurants around the area, but also local restaurants, businesses, finding ways to connect people to the goods and services they need. Specifically, some of the local businesses, Bird's Nest is a exclusive Postmates restaurant that has some of the best wings in the city. The Grafton has my favorite burger in the city called the Beckett Burger. Constantly Rates is one of the top burgers in Chicago. If you're like me, you probably start thinking about what you're going to eat for dinner when you're eating lunch. I love food, and that's why I love Postmates. They deliver food from every restaurant I could think of right to my door. They have contact delivery, which is great, or contactless delivery, excuse me. But Postmates doesn't just deliver burgers and sushis. They actually make life a little bit easier with grocery delivery, as well as whatever I can think of delivery. Things like masks, convenience stores, clothing stores, you name it, Postmates can probably find you connected to it. So no more trips, no more late night food runs. I don't even have to worry about what I'm going to grab for lunch anymore. I just download the Postmates app for iOS or Android, find your favorites, and get anything you want delivered within the hour. So right now, for a limited time, Postmates is giving our listeners $100 in free delivery credit for your first 7 days. To start your free deliveries, download the app and use the code LOCKEDON. That's LOCKEDON for $100, 100, of free delivery with no minimum purchase. You don't have to buy anything or spend a certain amount to use this. And you've got it for your first 7 days on Postmates when you download the app. So anything you need, anytime you need it, Postmate it. What's going on, Cubs fans? Joining me on the other line is Matthew Ung. You can follow me on Twitter at Matthew S. Ung. Matt, thanks for being on the show, man. How's it going?
Good. So happy to be here. Happy, I guess we can call it happy spring training with players reporting tomorrow, I believe.
Yeah.
It's summer camp. Let me take that back. It's hashtag summer camp. So let me take that back right off the top.
I was not a big fan of spring training 2.0, especially because it's happening in July. But, you know, it is what it is, I guess. Mm-hmm. Matt, before we get the show started, obviously, I know we wrote together at Wrigley Rapport, and I know you've done writing across other places, but I know you're a free agent writer. So anyone that's looking for a writer, obviously, Matt's a pretty connected dude. He does have sources, but he's also a talented writer. So if you're looking for someone to write about baseball or the Cubs,
make sure I can bullshit, too. I can bullshit, too.
Huge, huge perk.
Yeah. See, no, that's how I got through college as a comm major. If 60% of my papers used to be bullshit. The rest of it was just charts and quotes. I just BS the stuff I had to write. How do you think I got through college?
It's good to know. Awesome. Yeah. Obviously, Matt's a talented guy. I'm excited to have you on, though, man. I know we've been trying to do this for a little bit, so I'm glad we were able to make it work here today. But
always a pleasure.
As we were talking about before, I know obviously this Cubs team is reporting to Wrigley Field. It'll be cool to see spring training happen at Wrigley and around Wrigleyville, even though things are kind of not quite the same. It'll feel a little more normal with the Cubs back, but they unveiled their roster a couple days ago. They've kind of said they're sticking at 50 guys right now. They'll look at adding more guys throughout the season. But overall, like, what did you think about this roster when they released it on Sunday?
You know, I think you and I texted about it this or yesterday, and we talked about it. Was what you expected. I definitely think seeing Miguel Amaya, our top prospect, the catcher, that was a little bit of a shock for me. I know he's on the taxi squad, so he'll probably stay in South Bend. I did think Albert Alzolay would get on the main squad. I really did. I think he would have provided depth, so that was a surprise for me. Mark Zagunas also, but I know we brought up Ian Miller's name, and I think he'll get a shot. But like we talked about, it was what you expected. I mean, you obviously the top four starters are there. The only question is now who's your everyday right fielder, who's your everyday second baseman. And I think that's Kipnis and a mix of Souza and Happ, maybe, for all we know. So it was what I expected. I think the taxi squad is going to be really interesting in how they stay fresh going forward. Because we know, for one thing, it's a 60-game sprint to the finish. And I would even take it a step further. I think of it as, you know, those 24-hour car races that they have all over the world?
Yes.
I think of it like that, just because you're only going to have – now, remember, it's 60 games in 66 days. So that means there are only 6 scheduled off days. Now, could there be a rainout or whatever? Sure. But the taxi squad, to me, is going to play a big role. I think Zagunas and Albert Azalea, if Chatwood struggles or if Alec Mills struggles – he could play a big role. So I liken this more to a 24-hour race than I do a sprint, just because you are going to be constantly doing something every day. There is no off day going forward.
Yeah, that's honestly the best way I've heard it described, honestly. It is 100%. Like, because the season as itself is always a sprint, but this is just like, I mean, I don't know, season on speed. Like, this is going to be crazy. It's going to be, I mean, like, you think about, like, the trade deadline. That comes up in a month into the season. And like, who's going to, you worry about what's going to happen there. But we'll touch on that in a sec. But this roster, you brought up some great points. Like, Albert Alzolay and Miguel Amaya were two guys I was surprised, not so much for the same reasons, but surprised to see him on the taxi squad. Obviously, Amaya, a guy that I think was – I mean, their top catching prospect, probably one of their better hitters in their system, but still a guy that's probably 2-3 years away from, or 2 years away maybe at this point, from really making an impact on the big league roster. And then you've got like Alzolay, who, I mean, he had moments where he looked fantastic last year, and he had moments where he struggled a little bit, and that was kind of his MO in Iowa. But I mean, even just in the expanded bullpen role, or just if you want to put him in the Alec Mills role, like we were talking about, in that long reliever stretch guy, he's talented, dude can miss bats. So I don't know. I know we talked about earlier this week a little bit about the rotation, and I know you're not a big Tyler Chatwood fan, which I think most people. I don't think there's like
I call him the. He's not Chatwood to me. He's the crossing guard.
That's amazing. But obviously, like him and Alec Mills have the probably are the two guys that have that probably the fifth spot locked up for the most part. A shortened season, we'll probably see more starters, but. I know you were leaning more towards Alec Mills. What makes you think he's a good fit for that fifth role?
You know, I just feel like Chatwood is so hit or miss as a pitcher. But if you think about it, he can, like you brought up a good point too. He can miss bats. Like you said that, and I agree with you. My only thing is, and this is going to hold true for every pitcher that comes into town, two walks and one swing make it 3-0. I just feel like control is a much bigger thing, especially in the summer. Obviously, everybody has a little more power in July than they do in April. So for me, I just don't trust Chatwood to go twice through an order without running into trouble. Mills, on the other hand, he's like Mr. Consistency. He will get you 5 2/3, he might give up 3 runs, but he's the kind of guy who can keep you in a ballgame. And I'm not saying Tyler Chatwood can do that. I just don't trust him going forward just because can he get me through a lineup twice where I don't have to use Kyle Ryan or Wick. Yes, I said Wick twice because there are two of them. Or you know what I mean? So for me, I think Alec Mills is the right fit, but from the sounds of what I've heard, David Ross is going to go with Chatwood, and I pray that it works out because I compared Tyler Chatwood to Carlos Marmol, Antonio Alfonseca, and a whole bunch of other Cubs pitchers who can't throw the ball straight, and they used to give me heart palpitations, so I don't need that this summer.
No, we hope we can avoid that. But it's the Cubs and it's Tyler Chatwood, and they usually find ways to make things more difficult than they need to be. But yeah, I agree. I think that's a nail in the head with Chatwood. I mean, his stuff is great. We've seen it before, and obviously the fastball and the curveball combo, the tunneling he can create is impressive with the high velocity and the spin rate he puts together. It's great, but we haven't really seen him put it together a whole lot. And even his first season, like obviously he was walking a ton of guys, but there'd be games where like he'd have two innings of like looking unhittable. And then the next inning he couldn't throw a strike. And it's like, dude, it's the fourth inning. Like you have to do this more. So it's concerning to see him get on there, but Alec Mills, like you said, it's not very pretty. Sometimes he doesn't have swing and miss stuff, but he locates really well. He does a really good job of changing where his pitches are located and changing the eyesight of the hitter. It's a big deal for a lot of hitters.
He's like, to me, he's Bartolo Colon, but younger.
Yeah.
He doesn't have that swing and miss stuff, but he gets the job done.
Yeah, and he does it all the time. And, like, having him in that swing role, even him or Chatwood, too, if Chatwood does get bumped out of the rotation, like, I'm comfortable with that because I know, like, hey, if the starter's got to leave early by the fourth or fifth inning, you could put a guy like Mills in or Chatwood and hopefully get 2-3 innings. But yeah, Alec Mills, guy that didn't get enough praise last year, I would say. So, but.
I could easily see Mills being in a shortened season like this, somewhere between 80 and 90 innings, just because how long are the starters going to go the first month? I mean.
Yeah, that's a great
point. 3 weeks spring training. Where are you in 3 weeks in the spring? Because, I don't know, 60, 70 pitches tops. And with Darvish, that could be the fourth inning, you know, because he's got that swing and miss stuff. And, you know, I'll never forget when I used to watch Mark Pryor, Chip Carey used to say he could strike everybody out, but it takes him 6 pitches to do it. Times 3 is 18 pitches in an inning. And he's out of there by the fifth inning when he's only given up maybe 4 singles, you know. So I think Mills or whoever's in that swing role is going to play a much bigger role than a lot of people think, just because of it'll. I'm willing to bet you won't see a pitcher work into the seventh inning until the middle of August, August or early September, just because of the wackiness of what's going on here.
Yeah, no, you're probably right. I mean, outside of like, you know, different cases like guys like Jacob DeGrom or you know, Walker Buehler, those type of pitchers, AJ Cole, a reliever for the Marlins. Garrett Cole.
But let me ask you this. What do you think about Colin Rea too?
Colin Rea is an interesting guy. We actually talked with Tommy Birch from the Des Moines Register right before the pandemic hit, actually, when spring training was kind of kicking off. And he said even with Reyes, like, he had not so great spring to start early this year. But he was a guy that he said is just really good at battling. He doesn't have, like, the stuff that Alzolay has. But Rea is, for probably my money at least, he's probably the most put-together pitcher in the Cubs system right now. He's definitely the most MLB-ready in terms of a guy you could probably put at the fourth or fifth spot and he'd eat 150, 160 innings for you. He's not a top tier guy, but he's smart. He knows how to get himself out of games. And he's a guy, the big difference between him and Alzolay is, when Alzolay doesn't have his best stuff, he usually has his worst outings. Whereas Rea has had some of his best starts with some really bad stuff at different times. So he's just a good gamer. So I'm intrigued by him, but
I am too. And I guarantee you every team other than maybe Washington is going to need two long men at least this season.
Right.
Just because of the innings limitations. Because if you look at Washington really quick, Strasburg, Scherzer, and Corbin are going to eat up innings no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're the Cubs or any other team, maybe outside of the Dodgers, that could be pushing it, you're going to need two or three. So my gut tells me it'll be a mix between Rea, Mills, Chatwood, and Alzolay just because everybody's going to need depth. And unfortunately, and I texted you this earlier, I said the Cubs don't have depth, so they need to find it.
Definitely. I know we were texting about the bullpen earlier today. That was going to be my next topic. This kind of bleeds into the conversation we were having before, but the Cubs have a ton of arms, but none of them are very proven. And even the guys that you could maybe even classify as a proven arm, like a Craig Kimbrel or Rowan Wick or Brad Wick or Kyle Ryan, those type of guys are still not very much proven. I mean, Kimbrel's a proven commodity. It's just whether or not he's going to come out and pitch well. Like,
Did you hear what he said the other day?
Kimbrel, no.
He said, "I got number 46 back. I'll be fine."
Oh, did he really?
Yeah.
Good for him.
So he got it back from Strope, who's known in Cincinnati. But
right.
He came out and said, I forget where I heard it from. I think it was on the Cubs YouTube. He was like, "I got number 46 back. It's all good now."
Well, hey, apparently that's all I needed. Except I do miss Strope. But this bullpen is still kind of a question mark. And I know, like, Tommy Hotovy, the Cubs pitching coach, has been really big on trying to just accumulate arms and work with them. But that's kind of not really something you could do now in a pandemic. So we've got this collection of arms, but this bullpen is still kind of like, this could look a lot different from game one to game 60.
Oh, it will. I guarantee you that. Especially if the Cubs are in the race come August 1st, they might need to go get a bullpen arm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because, I mean, the first month of the year is going to tell everybody a lot. Just because you cannot do what the Nationals did last year. What did they start, 7-17 or something like that?
They were awful. Yes, they had like the worst record in baseball by 10 games.
So you can't do that. And I think it's tough for the Cubs just because you are in the toughest division in baseball. Because now the Reds are legit. The Pirates are the Pirates. The Cardinals are there and those pesky Brewers. The only thing good to come out of Wisconsin is a good Spotted Cow, but that's another story.
Big fan. I know you're a big fan of Spotted Cow.
So you owe me a six-pack, by the way, but that's another story.
Oh, I do? Okay.
But anyway, no. So, you know, the first – and what is it? 40 games against your division and 20 against the American League Central, if my math is right.
Yeah.
So the first month's going to tell you a lot, and I know the first month it's in a large sample size, but this division is good enough to where in a 60-game season, a team could run away and hide with two good weeks.
Right. Honestly, that's the difference.
Because if you think about it, almost every game is a two-game swing. Every game. minus the 20 against the interleague opponents.
Yeah, and it's the Cubs didn't kind of drew the short straw on that too, because they're going to face, I think, the Twins, the White Sox, and who's it? The Indians, I think, six times.
Tigers too.
The Tigers as well. Okay, so I mean that's a win because the Tigers aren't going to be good. But I know the Cardinals face, I think, the Royals and the Tigers six times, which is like, okay, those are going to be some easy series for them. So that sucks. But, you know, the Cubs also get to face the Pirates. So, like, it'll be a weird situation. But at least in terms of, like, who the Cubs have to face, I mean, there's three teams in that division that are pretty solid. And then you factor in, like, whatever the Brewers are going to be, too. They're a question mark, but Christian Yelich should be back. That's still a pretty good offense. Pitching's a question mark, but I mean, the Brewers, like you said, just they've turned into the Cardinals a little bit the last couple of years and really just hung around when they shouldn't be.
Hey, yeah.
What can you do, right?
All you can do is go up to Wisconsin, catch a ball game, and get Spotted Cow and cheese curds and come home.
Yeah, that's a successful day in Wisconsin.
Heck, we can't even do that, so I take that back.
That's true. I know the big question is going to be, obviously, I think once the season really starts to look like a baseball season a little bit and we start to get an idea of where teams are sitting, that first month is going to be strange, but immediately after that is the trade deadline. And that's going to be a whole can of worms too. I'm sure we're going to see Chris Bryant rumors. I'm sure we're going to see a Francisco Lindor trade rumors. That's going to pop up no matter where the teams are because of how quickly things can slide one way or the other. But it's going to be hard to feel like, I don't know, confident in a deal, especially when you like factor in like the minor league season's been officially canceled. These minor league players you're going to have maybe roughly 10 to 15 guys from the minor leagues on your actual roster who weren't probably like a AAA player anyways. It's going to be weird. I don't know what you're expecting from the trade deadline, but I'm expecting a lot of crickets, honestly.
I'm expecting boredom as a guy who, you and I can speak to this, you know, every trade deadline we're waiting for texts and tweets about, you know, what's going on. Our phones are always there and we're always, you know, checking text messages from our guys. But I would be shocked if a Lindor or a Bryant or, you know, somebody like that gets moved, because what's the point? Mm-hmm. You know, if you're the Cubs, why not hang on to Bryant? Don't forget the Cubs did win the grievance, so Bryant belongs to them through 2021. So if you think about it, if Bryant has a good year in the leadoff spot, maybe you try to move him this winter for a bigger haul or whatever. I expect there to be me needing coffee just to stay awake to see if anything interesting happens, and I don't even drink coffee. So I for once, I'm with you 100%. I think it'll be boring, and I just think teams don't feel safe trading prospects who they haven't seen. Because who knows? Miguel Amaya is, you know, I think one of our top five prospects in the organization. You're not going to trade him while he's just sitting there, are you?
Unless
our GM is stupid enough to want to do that.
Exactly. And like, even, I don't know, it's just even just like the what's going to happen in free agency with a guy like Mookie Betts, or, you know, these guys are going to get paid most likely, but not nearly. I mean, Mookie Betts probably lost a contract very close to like what Manny Machado and Bryce Harper got from the pandemic, and you feel for him a little bit because he's still going to make millions of dollars, but, you know, it's going to be a different type of contract. But you wonder like what free agency is going to look even beyond once we do get past this pandemic, because like the lasting effects of the league, it's going to be a couple of years, and owners, even if it isn't, are going to use it as a reason to not spend money.
Take it a step further though. And you know, we've talked about this before. You could easily have a work stoppage, if not in 21, definitely in 22, just because the CBA expires. And the only reason they got the job done this year was Manfred implemented his 60 game, for lack of a better phrase, executive power to where he could do that. He literally just dropped the gauntlet and said, I'm implementing a schedule, go deal with it. So, you know, I think baseball as a whole is in for a dark time in the next 12 to 24 months, just because A, you had a pandemic, you lost more than half the season, you can't find labor peace among your people, And more importantly, the biggest thing for me is if you're Major League Baseball right now and you do lock out or strike or whatever the hell you want to call it, how do you bring fans back? Because right. you're not gonna have Cal Ripken Jr. chasing the consecutive games record. I doubt you're gonna have another Sosa McGuire chase. So for me, like you said, the next 24 months are gonna be interesting. I don't expect any mega contracts. I don't expect any big trades, just because who knows where they'll be come 21-22.
Right. And that's a huge point. Like baseball, if they do lose fans, they're probably gone. Like you're gonna have to hope for a new wave of something happening. And you look now, I'm sure you watched the Long Gone Summer documentary, and that was whatever. But the big thing about that is like there hasn't really been a big moment in that like that for baseball. Maybe the Cubs winning a World Series, kind of. I know you and I are obviously biased there, but like beyond that, there aren't big type of accomplishments that can happen. I mean, there's not going to be another guy that hits 73 home runs. Like that's not going to happen. And if it does, it's a completely different, the baseball's changed entirely, but it's going to be guys going after consecutive hits, consecutive games. And that's not, there's no one in the league right now that's really quite there yet. So I don't know. It'll be scary. So I hope for the best. I hope baseball can figure it out. But yeah, if this anything over the last 4 months was a preview of what the CBA is, like it's going to end in a strike. It's going to be a strike. So,
and it won't be a baseball strike. It'll be a fans hate you strike.
Right, exactly. And it'll be a different type of feeling than it was in 94, where a lot of people were blaming the players. I think now, especially after this last couple months, I think people have seen really just how money driven the ownership groups are for baseball right now.
Agreed.
It's going to be weird. So, but some fun things to look forward to this year, at least. David Ross, a first-year manager, a guy who we talked about when the spring training started, and then spring training got suspended, and now we come back, and it's like, oh, yeah, David Ross is the manager. Oh, yeah, he's having Chris Bryant lead off. It's kind of cool. Mm-hmm. I don't know. What are you most looking forward to with Ross this year?
I texted you this before we started. I said, there's more pressure on these managers than ever in this sprint, just because you got to limit your pitchers' innings in the beginning. You got to give off days to these players who haven't played a game in 4 months or whatever it is. And for a rookie manager to get thrown into this, oh boy. David Ross, you won a World Series. You could have stayed in a broadcast booth, but you wanted to take this job. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Your first task, go manage 60 games and see what happens. No. But I think he is capable of it. I think he needs to follow the KISS method, which is a big thing, which is, for those of you who don't know, keep it simple, stupid. And I'm not calling David Ross stupid, but I think he needs to simplify the game. I love Chris Bryant in the leadoff spot. I love Rizzo in the two hole, because they are patient for the most part. And then the lineup will probably be a combo of Contreras, Baez in the 3-4 hole, and then, Schwarber, Hayward, Kipnis, something like that. And then whoever the DH is, I thought it would be an instant Schwarber hit, but apparently that's not how it's going to work. So it'll be interesting. So the lineup – look, for the Cubs, it's all about how many runs can you manufacture at this point, because you're going to hit the ball out of the ballpark. But if you look back to last year, you had second and third and one out. A team's giving you the run and you strike out. I mean, you can't do that, especially coming down the stretch when we lost, I think it was 7 of 8, and then took us out of the wild card picture. There were so many opportunities for cheap runs that you couldn't cash in on. And, that to me is like when a team gets out of those jams, I liken it to like a break of serve in tennis, where you broke a bone on the back of the opponent. And the more bones you break, the more hurt they become, the less patience they have, and you don't know what's going to happen. So for me, when it comes to the lineup, it's how many runs can you manufacture? How many smart outs do you make? And is Ross confident enough to stick with it for a whole season?
Yeah, that's really the question. Like, you don't want to – I feel like over-tinkering is something we might see managers do, especially in such a microscopic type of season. Like, these changes make big impacts, so you don't really have the time to play around the sample sizes, but you also can't – I mean, making crazy changes and making your lineup already uncomfortable is going to be weird. I know it's been talked to death a little bit because the DH has been rumored to come to the NL now for about a month or so now, but it's official. There is a DH in the NL this year and probably next year too, but we'll see. I know everyone thinks, you know, Kyle Schwarber, DH, slam dunk, it's over. But I think the Cubs are going to be a little more creative with that. I don't know. I'm excited to see them get more plate appearances for a guy like, Albert Almora was really bad last year, but I think he was showing signs in spring training of coming back, and he's still a really good contact bat. He's just really good at making contact and putting it on the ground. So if they could elevate it.
If Albert Almora Jr. is in your DH, we've got serious problems.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that
we've got – no, because his glove is too good. I think if David Ross did that, there'd be a – fans would be picket lining.
That's true. That's true. But I guess outside of Schwarber, who's one guy you really want to see in the DH this year?
I think Steven Souza Jr. is good. I think he's a big one. And just because his bat is there, you don't know. I mean, he's coming off injury. You don't know how much field he can cover. So I think it'll be a nice mix between Schwarber and Souza for the most part. But if you think about it, you can throw Contreras in there and have him – you know, take off the shin pads for a day, put Caratini behind the plate and figure that out. I mean, and if Ian Happ's going hot, you can throw him in there too. I mean, because we've seen it. When Ian Happ gets hot, it lasts about 4 or 5 days, maybe a week. So for me, it'll be a lot of platooning and a lot of realizing that you need to put your best defensive lineup out there just because you do not have five guys with swing and miss stuff.
Yeah.
So while there are going to be a lot of balls put in play, and you need to make plays and not make those stupid mistakes. And I think, you know, obviously Souza's hurt coming off an injury, and Schwarber is Schwarber in the outfield. I don't know how to describe him really, because he can either be really good or really bad depending on what line he takes. So I think it's a mix between Souza and Schwarber and whoever's hot.
Yeah. I think that's probably the best approach. Just kind of, you know, get the hot bat in the lineup when you can, get a day off for someone like Contreras or Rizzo when you can, but keep that bat in the lineup, which is, I think, huge. But Souza's an interesting guy. I mean, prior to the injury, he was a guy with decent speed. He did flash, I think, 30-30, you know, home runs, stolen bases with Tampa Bay before he got hurt with Arizona. He's an interesting guy, and a guy that, had he not been injured, probably would have been a guy the Cubs could have gotten at all. So he's a good piece. I'm excited to see what they do with him, especially with the DH. You can kind of utilize him in ways that you wouldn't have been able to, you know, had the signing occurred and COVID not happened and all the crazy things. But
yep, agreed.
Okay, so this is one of my last questions here before we wrap up. I want to ask you, with the 60-game season, obviously everything is more amplified, everything has way more meaning, but in terms of on the roster, who's the one player pointing to and saying, if this guy can play a good season, the Cubs will probably be just fine? It's a tough one.
This is going to sound really bizarre, but
okay.
I think it's a toss-up for me between Craig Kimbrel and Jason Hayward, because when the Cubs get to the ninth inning with their bullpen not being great and they get the ball to Kimbrel, that means your bullpen, which isn't good, got you to your guy who you spent XYZ number of dollars on, right? Uh-huh. So I think he needs to step his game up. And look, Jason Hayward's been with the Cubs for, what is this, year five now?
Yes, yeah, so year five.
Five? His glove's going to be there. But did we pay all that money for a glove? No, we paid for both. And, yeah, he had a good year last year. But, I mean, you saw what he did with Atlanta. He hit a 3-run homer off Carlos Zambrano day one and won Rookie of the Year. you know? So, and I think there are too many question marks in the outfield. Like, who's your center fielder, you know? So you can't really put pressure on Almora or you know, Souza if he wants to play center field or whatever. So for me, it's a toss-up between Kimbrel on the mound and Hayward at the plate. And if we want to throw one more guy in there just for the fun of it, I think Jose Quintana too.
Jose Quintana. Weirdly, I don't know if you saw this on Twitter today. Someone shared some picture of him around Lakeview with a splint on his finger. I don't think it's any big deal, but someone took some picture of Jose Quintana leaving his building with a splint on, and everyone lost their mind.
So tell me again why we. So tell me again why we traded for him. I can't remember. Who did we trade again? I forget. Who's that guy who I think clubbed 20 monster home runs? And this kid with a blowed by a fat. Who did we trade again? Oh, I can't remember. Probably nobody. They won't amount to anything.
Matt, don't hurt me any more than I am.
I'll never forget that trade, because when I saw it on Twitter, the Cubs were the ones who announced it.
Right.
Like the insiders. I mean, you and I had no clue what the heck was going on. All of a sudden, I see trade executed with the White Sox, and I saw Jose Quintana for Dylan Cease and Eloy Jimenez. I'm like, what the?
Yeah.
Bleep, what are you doing? What? And I don't have confidence in him when he takes the ball anymore. I don't know why. He just doesn't look comfortable out there.
Yeah, he's definitely not the same guy he was with the White Sox. He pitched really well for the first couple months when he came to the Cubs, and since then it's been kind of up and down. But
yeah.
I don't know. It sucks too about that trade, because like there were so many rumors about Justin Verlander wanting to come to the Cubs, and you know, the Tigers are trying to come up with a deal.
Now you're hurting me.
Yeah.
Now you're hurting me. Because we would have gotten Justin Verlander and Kate Upton. Look how that would have turned out. The two of us are cool enough. We could have gotten Kate Upton too, right?
Yes. Not a chance. At least not on my end.
Okay, no. Okay, good. At least we're being honest with ourselves.
Yeah, no. Not a chance. I would probably melt if I saw Kate Upton. But it is what it is. Well, Matt, I appreciate you coming on here today. I know you've got a lot going on in your personal life, and I didn't know if you wanted to talk about that at all, but I mean, dude, you are dealing with quite a bit, and it's been super fun to talk to you on the podcast today. But if you wanted to share kind of what you've been dealing with behind the scenes here a little bit.
Sure. No. And that's actually why I left writing for a while. I just had to, you know, get myself straightened out. And I didn't think I'd get straightened out this way. Long story short, I went into the hospital because I couldn't eat anything. They ran a scan and they found a mass in my gut, and it turned out that it was testicular cancer. So they removed one of the nuts. So now everybody calls me Maddie One Nut. So that's my new nickname now. So
I'll remember that.
So that happened, and it turned out the mass was on my small intestine, so whatever I would eat would never pass and it would come up. And so I would throw up, and I lost upwards of 30 pounds doing that. So, and then I just finished one set of chemo. The masses are still there. Look, they're definitely, the tumor was the size of a basketball when we started. One thing I've never told anyone, but I'll say it now. If I was able to eat back in January and, you know, be normal and all that, I would be dead right now. I would be dead.
That's crazy, man.
Because it would have spread up to my liver and all that. So, yeah, I would either be dead or on, like, some sort of hospice care by now. So that happened. So I had a scan a couple of weeks ago, and there are three little satellites, they call them, left. So they're going to do either surgery at University of Chicago first and then more chemo, or vice versa. So we're not out of the woods by any stretch. I mean, I'm not. But I'm definitely, you know, I can't quit now. And I don't know what the meaning of quit is, even though I've wanted to, believe me, and I've told you this numerous times, I've wanted to quit.
Right.
Because chemo is people say cancer will kill you. It won't. Chemo will. I guarantee you, chemo is awful. And the worst part of it is, each one of my chemo treatments is 5 to 6 hours every day. So it's literally you sitting in a recliner for 5 to 6 hours straight, just doing nothing other than you with your thoughts and just trying to ponder what to do next, because you don't know what next is. And then you do all these tests, they draw your blood every day. So yeah, it's been tough, but and that's the main reason why I left writing. But I'm done kind of feeling sorry for myself in that regard. There are other things that you and I have talked about that I'm not going to get into, but because I'll just put it this way. Women are really confusing.
Yeah, they're tough, man.
Yeah, but yeah, no, but I'm ready to get back, and I think this was a good launching point for me, and I want to thank you for having me on, just because this is the first time since January I've been able to focus on something other than cancer and that other thing. So this was fun. I'm ready to get back in the writing game. I'm ready to, you know, attack what comes next. So yeah, I'm ready to come back, and I think I'm done feeling sorry for myself in the cancer regard, because I can't go back and change anything.
Sure.
If I could, I would, but you know, I'm ready to get back, and I'm ready to watch the Cubs. I don't know how I'm going to do that yet. So, Crane Kenny, if you're listening, get your crap together and get a deal worked out with Comcast. Otherwise, I'll have to borrow Sean's Hulu password and do that.
Which is fine anyways, but yeah. It'd still be nice to put him on Comcast, but...
Yeah.
Well, Matt, it's always... I mean, it's been awesome having you on the show. We'll definitely have to have you back, man. But, I mean, everything you've been dealing with and, you know, just the text conversations we had, you're still upbeat. You're still the same guy, and I know personally, if I had to go through what you're dealing with on top of cancer, I just can't. I wouldn't have done it. I wouldn't be as up to be, and I don't know, man. Your positivity has been you may not see it, but it's definitely affected me in my day to day. So
I'm glad to hear your girlfriend's doing better too. I know you and I've gotten pretty personal over the last few months, so.
Yeah,
just know that I'm here for you. If you need anything, shoot me a text, shoot me an email, do what you have to do.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, forward. And one thing I do want to say, and then I'll shut up. This is all what we talked about today is all going off the assumption that there will be a full 60-game season. Let's make that obvious.
Yeah, that's very. Yeah, we're not. There's no guarantees. There's no. You know, we don't know if it'll be a postseason. Really, we don't know. You know, if they do stop, do they start back up? Like, there's so many questions to this, but
yeah.
Whatever baseball we get, I'm going to try and appreciate.
Oh, absolutely. Now here's my question for you, Mr. Host.
Yeah.
Whoever wins the World Series, are they a worthy champion?
I think so. I don't know if you can call it a World Series. I think you might need to change it up a little bit, but I think every team's dealing with the same aspects. You know, it's all, everyone's kind of dealt the same hand here a little bit. Now we'll have to see. We have seen some guys decide to opt out, and while it hasn't been anyone too, I guess, like, it isn't a Mike Trouts of the world. Granted, I do appreciate what Ian Desmond said and what he's doing.
Oh, no, what Ian Desmond said was all fabulous.
Right on the money. And we need more vet in baseball. We really do. We need guys to speak their mind. Mm-hmm. But
I agree.
Looking at this whole thing, I mean, it's just we just don't know what's going to happen. But I don't know, man. I'm nervous.
This
for
is
what...
honestly, this is going to be a season that's either going to work out great, or, and you can bleep this out if you have to, it's going to be one big shit show.
Well, Matt, I appreciate you coming on today. For those of you who are not yet following Matt, you can find him on Twitter at MatthewS_Ung. He is
That's AUNG, by the way.
Thank you. Yes.
Everybody else spells it with a Y for whatever reason, so I just had to throw that in there.
No, we want to make sure you get it right. Yeah, it's AUNG. That's yep. MatthewS_Ung. He's on Twitter. He is a freelance writer looking to find a place to write about baseball, and anyone would be lucky to have him. So, but Matt, thanks for being on the show, man. Once the season gets underway, we'll have to bring you back and see how we're feeling once baseball started.
Hey, dude, after we get done with all this mess, you and I are going to do something, because need to get out. Honestly, dude, I need, like, a guy's weekend. We need to, like, go do something. I don't care what it is, but we need to do something. Otherwise, look, Because with this whole thing, I've had to move back in with my parents for this. No. So, like, I've seen enough of my parents. Like, my dad's been working from home and my mom's retired. So, I've seen more of my parents in the last 3 months than I've probably seen in the last year, which is bad, I know. But we need to, like, go to Milwaukee and, like, go on a brewery tour and get freaking hammered. Because yeah. I need that so bad. And that's the one time I will go to Milwaukee. Other than to catch a Brewers-Cubs game.
Yeah. Yeah, well, Matt, I can guarantee you I can take care of getting you hammered. I think I can handle that part, so.
Fine, you buy, I'll drink. If you're doing the buying, I trust you.
Yeah, I'll take care of you. But yeah, we'll definitely set that up, man.
All right, Cubs fans, that'll do it here for today's episode of Locked On Cubs. We'll have another episode later this week to wrap up the show. And then with Cubs reporting to Wrigley Field this week, we might actually be able to kick up into 5 episodes per week. We'll see if that happens. I don't want to guarantee anything. The network, I don't think, has necessarily said we had to do that yet, but I figure if the content's there, we're going to try and go 5 episodes. So hopefully, with people, beat writers, whatnot, being allowed at spring training and how that's going to work, hopefully we can get some content from just the workouts and what's going on, an idea of what this roster is going to look like, how David Ross might be functioning, different ways he's going to be utilizing his bullpen and rotation than he would have been had it been a full 162-game season. So hopefully we have some more stuff to talk about, but I'm just excited for baseball, as I'm sure everyone else is here. Of course, there's the ever-growing concern of COVID and the impact that could have on this game. So any baseball game we get this year, I think we'll just have to really appreciate, because it's not looking quite optimistic that we'll be able to completely get through a season with COVID still looming. So, but make sure, if you have not yet, you are subscribed to Locked On Cubs and whatever podcast app you use. And when you get into your car, tell your smart device to play Locked On Cubs. Make sure you're following us on Twitter at Locked On Cubs. You can follow me on Twitter at Sean R. Sears. You can follow Matt on Twitter at MatthewS_Ung. And then after this episode, make sure you tell your smart device to play the most recent episode of Locked On MLB, hosted by Paul Francis Sullivan. But you guys enjoy the rest of your day, and as always, go Cubs.